B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-doo-zop, bop-doo-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore. Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
To the fourth member of our crew, Charles Clinton. Charles?
Pleased about is that Billy Sauer has never lost a playoff game at Yost Ice Arena in his career. And he's hoping that he'll have a chance to win the CCHA playoffs this year. Back to you, guys.
Let's send it back down to Charlie.
Okay, guys, one of the reasons why University of Nebraska is having a hard time scoring is because one of their leading scorers is out. Ryan Marshall, their leading scorer, is out for... Back to you, guys. It's been us.
Let's take it back down to Charlie Clinton. Charlie?
Guys, we got a debut today. Eric Elmblad. He's a sophomore defenseman, and he made a nice hip check earlier and got called for a penalty for it. And so far, that's all he's been doing today, but he's been replacing Scooter Vaughn. And back to you guys.
I'll send it back down to Charlie Clinton. Charlie?
Guys, Jack Hilarik is two-thirds of the way to a hat trick. His line mate, Kevin Porter, has already scored one against Nebraska Omaha earlier in the season on Nebraska second. Back to you guys.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich radio program. Tom Fairchild Studios. Sort of. 617-779-0985.
And then there was Wallach.
Oh, my God.
And then there was Wallach.
I'm the only one left on the island.
You watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
John is simply the Omega Man. He is legend.
What's up?
Yeah.
Now I know how hard he felt. Man, look at us. No one here. Just me. Just me.
I don't know if anything's wrong with me yet. So just a matter of time. But yes, I am unable to come in. And Rich has got COVID.
Yep.
And Johnny Boy stands alone. It's the Kowloon sweatshirt that keeps
That's
him
right,
alive.
Baby. Here it is. Mm-hmm.
Never underestimate the power of the Wong father.
Absolutely. It keeps him going.
There's something in the rice that is like almost like a natural monoclonal antibody, I guess, that's
sure.
keeping you safe.
Let's go with that.
It's the secret of the duck sauce, maybe, mm-hmm. that's keeping you coated in anti-infectious goo.
I got
if you wear Invisalign.
Days,
yeah, if you wear Invisalign, it's some, yeah. for some reason, that blocks everything
that's
going on there.
Okay. So out of like the all the shows... Like how many people have had to broadcast remote? I mean, it's been I think almost everyone but you, right? Well, like,
Hardy. I don't think so. Hardy's pretty much been consistent, right?
Okay.
But you know, Zolak and Bertrand were both in their separate homes for a while. Zo just came back. I don't know about the afternoon show. I know Maz was. Oh,
Felger,
I know
Felger was gone.
Definitely gone. I think Maz.
No,
was
Maz is gone now.
Okay.
Yeah, Maz
okay.
is gone now. But I don't know if Maz is gone now because of. Someone in his house having it, or I know he's got it. Like his father is old. I don't know.
Yeah.
But my parents have it, and they're fine. So
I don't want to speak out of school, but I think that everyone's got either a close contact or had it. Everyone who's been out.
Well, the rules for the station are much different than the rules for the CDC guidelines. Our station is like, for instance, I would be able to go into school. If it was, if I went to school,
my kids,
which I plan on doing Billy Madison style, I would be able to go to school today, but I am not able to come into work.
Right,
which is fine with me. I mean, I don't care. I mean, you know, if you want me to sleep an extra hour, I mean, I have no problem doing that.
I think it's what's our work? It's close contact five. You got
it's just
it.
Don't come into work. It's just our work is don't come in. It's under no circumstances come in. But I'm fine. It's good. It's good. But the thing is that as much to our listeners, I know our listeners love hearing this, is that I have this surgery coming on Thursday. And so if I'm getting COVID, it was almost a Brady Bunch situation yesterday. Like, give it to me. Give it to me. I want it. I want it now. Like, if I'm going to have it, give it to me now. Because I do not want it tomorrow. I want it now. Because on Tuesday, I have to be COVID-free. Mm-hmm. So that is the plan. So I did do undercover a little Brady Bunch situation with the person in my family that has it, saying, yeah, maybe you breathe on me a little bit. Maybe you give me a little bit of this stuff. You know, maybe late night you give me a little breath. Because I told you guys, my mom... My mom doesn't feel well, and she got tested. My mom doesn't have COVID. Like, the tests are showing she doesn't have it, but she's sick, and my dad has it. And my parents live in, like, a 6,000-square-foot home. And I said to my mom, I go, did you sleep with Dad last night? And she's like, yeah. Well, then why don't you just, like, I mean, I know that they make love constantly. I'm like, why don't you just French kiss him? Like, I mean, what are you doing sleeping in bed with this guy? Like it, you have four bedrooms. What are you sleeping in bed with him?
So have you been doing the dance? Because that's like, you know, for, boy, I guess it'd been almost a week and a half that we did the dance where some people had it in our house, some people didn't. And it was almost a relief once all of us got it in a way. It was that we were able to, like, eat dinner together and, you know, actually see each other.
No,
and pop
it's
on
unrealistic.
Masks and tiptoeing into one room or the next.
It's my wife is putting on this facade that he's got to wear this mask, but I told you, I think I've already told John this. It's just completely unrealistic. It's not something that I can do. It's our family. I'm not going to sit upstairs like a mole and. I would have, you know, a year and a half ago, I would have, you know, removed myself. I'm not doing that now. I'm not having my kids do that. It's crazy. But the thing is, I need to get it now, which is what's funny because I know I'm going to get it, but, like, I need it now. I need to get it now so I'm over it Tuesday. That's all I need.
Here's the bad news, and the bad news is that if the person in your family got it, and you weren't around, and this is the first exposure you've got to it was like yesterday. They say it's 5 days. It takes 5 days until you actually get it. It's like a 5-day incubation period until it registers that you have it. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly how it happened in our house. It was almost to the calendar. Like, Hank got it like it was on a Saturday, and then it was Friday, which is 6 days, but I mean, it's pretty close, that Max got it, and essentially I started feeling symptoms and everyone else. So it takes 5 days for you to either feel it or end up testing positive
most
cases.
My son started to feel a little sick on Monday and whatever. And then yesterday we kept him home from school. And then on Monday he tested negative. And then on Tuesday, today's Thursday. So yeah. Monday night he felt like a little sick, whatever. So Tuesday goes on. And he felt ill Tuesday night, so we kept him home from school yesterday and tested him Tuesday, and he was negative. And then we kept him home from school yesterday and then tested him, and he was positive. So I've been exposed to it.
So let's go Tuesday. Tuesday's probably the day. If you said that, that's when he started to actually feel real symptoms. I would say Tuesday's probably the day. So take 5 days from there, which would be Saturday, most likely, that you would test positive. Unless you were both exposed to the same person that got COVID. But if he, like, got it, let's say, from school or someplace where you weren't, then that's the difference.
Would I still have it Tuesday, though?
If you end up testing positive on Saturday... The Saturday it's usually lasts for about a good 5 days that it comes up.
Yeah.
So your timing, unfortunately, is right right in the gray area, but I mean, and that's once again, if you didn't get it from the same place, but if he's the one who exposed you to it and it was new when he showed up.
Well, I don't have it now, and my wife doesn't have it now, and my daughter doesn't have it now. Like, I'm silly with tests. I have tests all. I got tests all over the place.
You see, you're one of the lucky ones. I still don't have them.
I use that kid's algorithm. I use that thing. I didn't cheat or anything.
You got yours because I did the same thing, but my ones from Amazon are still like they're not arriving until next week.
That's the thing.
When
we ordered from Amazon, it took a while. It took like 3 or 4 days longer than it was supposed to. But
I didn't realize
silly with tests too.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that you get two per box.
Yep,
so I'm
that's
like,
right.
Whoa. So I figured out I have 9 tests, but I never have to test my son again.
Well, we're going to get all of them. We're not going to need them for a while.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Until the next variant, but we're all. I mean, we're basically all.
Yeah, the next variant is basically going to be like you have diarrhea for 5 seconds. I mean, this thing's can't. What's it going to mutate into? I mean, literally,
dude,
Rich. Like everyone's got this now. I mean, it's over. I mean, it's over. You can't catch the same thing 85 times.
I can't mentally tell myself to get happy, but I want to. Like, listen, for 90 days, I'm feeling like this could be the greatest thing in the world. But there's something inside me that because I don't want to get crushed again and be like,
God damn it, we're going to do all this stuff again. No,
you know?
No, everyone, first of all, most people are vaccinated. Besides that, everyone's got it. I mean, literally, Rich. I mean, like everyone.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. Oh, yeah.
So,
I know everyone's. Listen, I'm sitting here in a house full of.
I don't think that's how viruses work. I don't think when everyone gets it, that they then turn like super deadly. I think that it's pretty much run its course. But you don't feel sick anymore.
I still feel a little lethargic. It's getting better every day. Like for me, it's slowly getting
better.
Can
you taste?
Yeah. I never lost any of that. I never lost the smell.
That's the only thing that
we're
afraid of.
Very weird.
Yeah, no. For me, it's been, you know, I had one bad night, and then I was just tired for a couple of days. The energy's getting better. It sounds like hopefully by the time I'm in next week, I should be. Knock on wood. I have heard of a couple people, this, you know, things going on the up and then it coming back and punching them in the nuts. But
apparently Felger just got like mad Rhea. Which is
that's not a thing for me. Like,
I haven't heard anyone else getting mad Rhea, so I'm wondering what kind of COVID he got.
He got the bonus round.
Yeah, he got the Rhea variant.
Good.
Yeah. I guess if we've learned anything, it's like everyone's got a different way that it like, you know. I'll tell you what's weird is that it's like it's just the stamina. You know, it's like I think last night yesterday's show, like right around 9:30, I found myself just staring into this computer screen. We were in the middle of, I think it might have been the Billy Jaffe interview. I was just like slapping myself just to stay locked in, and it wasn't because of Jaffe. It was just because.
Well, Billy Jaffe is the human COVID.
Well, he's got it. Yeah, he's starting to sound like Harvey Fierstein too. He's got that, you know, scratchy voice.
But he has. But I mean, he's essentially COVID on a microphone. All right. Rich, there you go. There's an update from all of us. And you can see our cool houses. You can see my cool Mo Cheeks jersey. That's not even really a 76ers jersey in the background. But, Rich, I watched the Celtics yesterday. I take it we will talk about that.
We will. I watched that entire game as well. A revenge game for Terry Rozier. A very, very weird thing that's going on with Jason Tatum. We will get into some of the slightly disturbing numbers when it comes to his shooting. And last night, it all came to a head.
Well, you saw a young superstar in who? John Wallach?
LaMelo Ball.
He's awesome.
Well, first of all, I don't like his shoes. But
two different colors. It was confusing.
Awesome.
One's red, one's yellow. What are you going to do?
A young man named Miles Bridges, my friend.
Yep. Yes, he was coming off
a huge
game. He scored 38 points the night before.
Yes.
He has developed that offensive game. He's built like a truck.
I like that team. I like that Charlotte team a lot. That's a fun team to watch. At least they're entertaining.
Yes, indeed. They love to. Do you know what they love to do? Is slam a jamma.
They love to slam a jammeroos.
They love to slam a jam.
They do not fake the funk on a nasty dunk, as the T-shirt says.
No, I mean, if you want razzle dazzle, I mean, you came to the right place. I mean, they have razz amataz. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To make a great sports talk radio show work, you got to know when to talk.
Did you take anything specifically away from that game?
And when to listen.
What did we really learn about this team yesterday?
John, that is the exact question Rich just asked.
Thanks.
Is that right?
For listening.
How did I miss that?
To Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Rich, what is going on?
Well, after several games, the good Celtics, the bad Celtics showed up last night.
Tatum dribbles it off his own foot, turns it over again. Rozier lead for Bridges. He gets in behind Schroeder. Windmill slam with the right hand.
Whoa. Yeah, it was a slam jam.
Jamma. What the hell is going on?
And then they chest bumped, and then the Celtics went out the other end of the court, and Tatum dunked. Miles Bridges was too busy celebrating, and the Celtics just went in transition, and it was a 5-on-3, and there was no one there to stop him.
I think that was just a mercy dunk that they were letting him get away with, because basically Tatum was hitting nothing else.
I just thought it was funny that Miles Bridges, like, and who I love, he went to Michigan State an extra year actually, but I just liked that they celebrated it. And then just allowed the action to go back and just erase everything that he'd just done well. But go ahead.
Likeable guy, too. I like Miles Bridges a lot. I mean, his personality is a major plus as well. But I don't know what's going on at the TD Garden this week. Right after the Bruins gave up their worst performance of the season, the Celtics can't make a shot. They lose basically to half their old team, 111-102, if you didn't see the game. When your two best offensive players go 2-for-18 from three, man, you got issues. It was brick after brick after brick from Jason and Jalen last night. Tatum made a whopping 5 shots and missed all 7 three-point attempts. And if you add this to his previous games, Tatum has now missed 14 straight threes. Now, I saw a Grandy stat last night. He's on his old Grandy stat computer. Jason Tatum is a career 40% shooter entering this year. His career low is 37%. This season, Tatum is shooting just over 31%. That is insane. And what's crazy, too, is obviously he's scoring a lot, so the volume of shots he's taking is still off the charts. But, I mean, 31% for a guy who is supposed to be your elite scorer on this team isn't good. It also doesn't help that apparently this was a Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward revenge game.
Schroeder pounding Rozier at half court. 6 on the shot clock. Rozier steps to his right. The bounce 3 is good. Scary Terry with a big one. To calm things down. Pushes it back to 9.
Oh, Scary Terry, I had your T-shirt. That being said, that Charlotte team, as I was mentioning, they are awesome. I had a friend of mine text me last night saying that if the Celtics had LaMelo Ball on their team, 90% of their offensive woes would be fixed. I did notice the shoes, by the way, Fred. It's funny you mentioned that. I don't know if I've seen that. He is a trendsetter. Now, were those Big Baller Brand? I'm not quite sure.
I don't know, but I don't like them. And I can't be convinced, because one was red and one was yellow.
It was McDonald's themed.
Yeah, perhaps. And that is, I mean, the rest of them were dressed as the Hamburglar. That is true. So, but even if, like, some website says they're cool, I'm not standing by that. I do not like that. I do not like your shoes.
Slightly distracting. Maybe that is on purpose. Maybe that's how he gets them to look the other way, and he can make those ridiculous shots.
I mean, it's not like he was, he was efficient last night. I mean, he was inefficient last night as well. He likes to throw it up, but don't like his shoes. Thank you.
Either way, a night of crappy shooting doomed the team. Here's Ime on Tatum's slump as of late.
I would say missing. Honestly, we look at shot quality. We look at all the numbers of what he's done in his career until now, and they're as good or better shots. So if he's playing off of guys and they're getting the wide open looks or creating his own shots, we expect those to obviously go down eventually. And that hurts you somewhat, obviously. Be some different outcomes if we shot the ball better. But, you know, you stay with it, stay confident, and continue to make the right play.
Should I be worried, John? Because I don't feel worried about Jason Tatum and his shooting slump. I mean, I saw everything last night. Everyone on the internet's got a theory as to why it's off. A lot of people are saying it's because, I mean, the dude got COVID twice. He's still bouncing back from all of that. He's played more than anybody else, it seems like, on the team this season. I've got a weird... I don't know. I think it's going to bounce back, but this is a concerning slump for the moment.
Ultimately, I think Tatum settled a couple of times last night, and Ime Udoka is, they've studied every shot he's taken throughout his entire career, and they're making judgments based on that. But, I mean, there was the game before this, we were applauding Tatum for going to the basket, attacking the rim. Didn't do that nearly as much last night. Charlotte's defense had a little to do with it, but I saw Tatum settle. I saw the team settle for standstill jump shot threes and go back into isolation basketball. I mean, last weekend they talked to Joel Embiid and said, why were the Celtics so easy to defend? And he basically said, we played Charlotte the night before. Charlotte moves the ball well. They're difficult to defend. The Celtics are ISO heavy. That makes it a lot easier to double one side of the floor. You saw a lot of that last night. The ball movement wasn't nearly as good. But as far as Tatum's concerned, he's a star. He'll be fine. The question is, do the Celtics have enough shooters around him to make it easier? Last night they didn't. They were awful.
No, they haven't. By the way, LaMelo Ball, once again, proving me wrong how I didn't like the guy and I didn't think he would amount to anything. But apparently those shoes that he wore last night, those are Rick and Morty Puma shoes. The cartoon Rick and Morty, it's their brand.
There you go.
And once again, another reason to actually like the guy. That's kind of funny. So congratulations to him.
I don't know why that's funny. I don't like the shoes. I mean, I don't know why. It's not like curing cancer. I mean, like Rick and Morty.
He's kind of funny. Went out there with Rick and Morty shoes and ended up...
Adult cartoon.
Yeah.
It would be like going out with King of the Hill shoes. I
would think that was awesome. If somebody went out with King of the Hill shoes, I would think that was pretty
damn funny. My son wears Icy shoes, which whose shoes are those? Trae Young. But they're, Icy, like the brand of drink?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Trae Young has these, Icy shoes.
Oh, that's cool.
It's not novel.
Yeah, but I like that.
Kyrie has the SpongeBob shoes. Yeah, all right.
Kyrie's got the Friends shoes, too, which now that, because that show sucks, obviously, it sucks about as much as Kyrie does. It seems to be appropriate that he's a big fan. Well, as I was saying, it sure seemed like Hayward and Rozier wanted to stick it to the Celtics, because here's Miles Bridges being interviewed about it after the game.
First win for the Hornets in this building since 2016, especially for a guy like Terry, a former Celtic. How good does this one feel?
It feels great. You know, we haven't got him a win in this building in a minute, and I've never won here, so I'm just glad to finally get a win here. Like, we're breaking all the records this year.
Did you already give a message to Terry after this win?
Yeah. We did this for you and Gordon, you know? So we just want to continue to have fun and keep winning.
I don't know what the Terry Rozier thing. I mean, obviously, there's no reason for him to be upset with the Celtics. They offered him $1 zillion. We all laughed at it when he ended up going to Charlotte. What did he end up? How much did he get, John? It was like $26 million or something.
$20 million.
I mean, way more than anyone thought it would be worth. But the Hayward thing. Like, that was a big storyline yesterday as to whether, the Celtics did him wrong and whether he hated his time here. I mean, listen, I can see why this place didn't bring you great memories. It wasn't like they didn't treat you well. It's just you got here, and your very first game, you had one of those horrific injuries a guy could have. Yeah. And then ever since then, it seemed like they were trying to jam you into a lineup that really almost didn't need you for a while. And then there was criticism that Brad was trying to sandwich you in when, you were taking shots away from others. I could see why he probably didn't find his time here to be the most pleasant, so... It was just very weird last night. A lot of people taking shots.
Rozier left originally 3 years, $56 million, re-signed for 4 years and $96 million. So he's making a lot of money.
Has he? Because I check in every once in a while. But I, as much as that team's fun to play, I'm not like a huge fanboy of Charlotte. Has he lived up to, like, that's a tough contract to live up to, but has he been doing relatively well?
Yeah, he's averaging about 20 points a game. I mean,
that's great.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
he's
what
averaging
you want.
20 points a game. He's shooting about 40% from three. Yeah.
Did Gorman use my nugget last night?
I did not hear it.
No, he didn't mention you.
Doesn't mean he didn't, but it could have been when I was,
Between Scal and Gorman, there's a lot of Benedict Arnolds on that team.
I'm just, look, all I remember is that you had negotiated to work a Celtic game in Detroit back at the old Palace at Auburn Hills. And yes. Gorman's like, yes, not a problem. You offered to fly yourself out there, if I remember correctly, and just show up and walk down there. You didn't need to take the team bus or the team plane or anything like that. You had your own lodging taken care of, and they wouldn't do it. And I don't understand why that is.
Scal and Gorman wanted me to do it. They say, they claim. I mean, who knows?
We were the bad boys of NBC Sports Boston.
That's right. That's back when we were on television. That's right.
Yeah. Too hot for television.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they knew anything goes.
Now you get the gun show on Twitch.
Yeah, now on Twitch, it's the Wild West.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, ironically, despite losing last night, the Celtics actually moved up to ninth in the standings, almost there, because the Toronto Raptors lost. Jesus. But tomorrow night, the Trailblazers come to town to try to get a look at Jaylen Brown, who they want to trade for.
No Lillard, by the way, for the Trailblazers.
He's out. Is he out for the season?
Maybe. It's one of those deals where they might see him the last month. But well, yeah, I mean, abdominal surgery.
How many times do we have to have that rumor resurface that when it comes to Damian Lillard, Jaylen Brown is one of the names that they continue to look at, and obviously other pieces as well, but it surfaced again yesterday, so there you go. Jaylen will get the showcase for those guys, and you'll see whether or not there's somebody that may not be here much longer.
We had an argument last time, my friends and I. We were texting back and forth. Is Jaylen Brown a top 30 player in this league?
30?
30.
That was the number, 30.
According to every list I've ever seen, he is.
Yeah.
See, I would say no, because if you just took the best player off of every team, that's already, you're already right there. It's like, is Jaylen better than the best player on any other team?
Yes, he is. I mean, I would bet that Oklahoma City would love to build around Jaylen Brown, and Houston would love to build around Jaylen Brown.
Ooh,
so that's
Jaylen
two
Brown
right there.
Is Jaylen Brown enough? Yeah, but you can find other teams where there's 2 to 3 players that are better than Jaylen Brown.
What I'm saying, and now look, is he a top 20 player? I'm saying it's borderline, but he's right in that 30 range.
No.
I mean, he was an all-star last year. He's averaging 24 points a game this year.
He doesn't feel like a number one guy. And to be a top 30 player, you're essentially a number one guy.
See, I disagree. I think there are twos that are, you were just saying, there are some teams that have more than one player.
Yeah, but those teams have a number one that's astronomical. Like, I'm talking like the Nets. You've got, Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving. I mean, that's three right there on one team that are better than Jaylen Brown. And you can just go through the East and just take a look at, okay, pick the best player and just plug him in and put it that way. And I think it would be easy if you had to, John. As a matter of fact, you should in the commercial break.
I see.
You should come up with, because go through every team and write down the players that are better than Jaylen Brown, and I guarantee you it won't be tough to
right
find 30.
I'll
guarantee you it won't be tough to find 30 that you can that easily, just looking at the rosters. Circle the top guy, circle the second guy, and then I'm telling you, it'll fill up quicker than you think. And I like Jaylen Brown a lot, but top 30s, that makes you one of the best in the league. And I just don't think that he's got that kind of credentials yet.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Excuse me, Rich, what's going on?
Well, we finally got our rescheduled games. I know we were asking Billy about that, and he was right. Yesterday was the day. Since the NHL won't be heading to the Olympics, and with so many games postponed due to COVID earlier this season, the league has finally released their makeup schedule. And unlike the beginning of the season, the Bruins will be playing a lot in February. 7 games in 13 nights, starting at home on February 8th against Pittsburgh, then 2 days later against Carolina, rematch, and then a 4-game road trip where they play every other night, and then back home to finish against Colorado for a President's Day matinee at 1 p.m. I didn't know that enough people got off work on President's Day to justify a matinee, but you'll never hear me complain about a sporting event during the day. So if you can get tickets, that would do it.
I'm going to be in somewhere in Florida I've never heard of. That's what I'm going. That's my parents fund a trip to, in quotations, every February for February break. And I always end up somewhere where I'm not quite sure where we are. So so that President's Day, I will be in somewhere within an hour and a half of where the Red Sox training camp is.
Well, if you don't end up at Gatorland, then the trip is a failure. You have to somehow find your way to Gatorland.
I'll tell you, when I went to college, I was 45 minutes from Gatorland and an hour away from Disney. And I went to Disney once and Gatorland several times.
Gatorland
is the... Is the only thing you have to do if you're in Central Florida.
You can't believe it exists. Like, have you ever seen something where you said to yourself, it's like, none of my friends would believe me? The great thing about Gatorland is that it's a place that many people have gone to, and it's been well documented, and you can do a quick Google search and realize that, yes, there is a place where if you want to, that most likely for the right amount of money, they'll let you wrangle an alligator. I can't imagine what the insurance is in that place.
I always thought it was depressing, like that whole Kissimmee area, because it's like, it's just like
swampy. It's like in a swamp.
But it's like every, it's like this. It's pretending to be Disney, but it's really bad. And
right.
Then that movie with William Dafoe came out.
Oh, the Florida Project. That's a great
movie. The Florida
movie.
Project.
Yeah.
But it's set in Kissimmee.
Oh, God, it's so... He runs a crappy hotel that's called... I think it's called the Magic Kingdom is the name of his hotel. And, like, throughout the movie, there's all of these couples who are on their honeymoons who accidentally booked this place and they thought they were going to Disney World.
It's this place where
crackheads are living.
Well, that's... Well, you know, that's Crash's wife. Not in the movie, but Crash's... Not in the motel, but, like, when the guy tells Willem Dafoe, he's like, you know, I'm from Central America, and this is like what every Central American girl wants, is they want to get married at Disney World.
Yeah.
And then he realizes he's not at Disney World. I mean, that's Crash met his wife. She's from Argentina. She was alone at Disney. Like, it was her, like, life's dream to go to Disney.
Oh, man.
She, like, saved up and went there. There's something about South America, Central America, that people just, like, love Disney. But anyway, that whole Kissimmee area was always very, very depressing.
Yes.
And then, of course, the Florida Plot Project came out, and I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's just about how I thought it would be.
It's
not like I knew
with,
anyone who lived there.
It's lined with $2, like, T-shirt stores and just all these tacky souvenir places that are down the street.
Well,
and
yeah, it's like medieval times, and, like, it's... I just picture
there's a place there called Arabian Nights where it's like a dinner theater thing where it's like they come out and start dancing and do, but it's like all Aladdin themed.
It's like Route 9, and like so people would be like going, I'm going to Disney, and then they end up on Route 9 in Saugus, like, you know,
it's
10
true.
Years ago.
Right.
And it's just like, I just picture like how crushing that would be if you're a kid.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to Disney World. Nope, you ended up in Florida's version of Frank Gifreda's Steakhouse.
Yeah, you're Disney adjacent. And the thing is that, like, and then Gatorland's there.
Yeah.
But not even in Kissimmee, really, but Gatorland's there.
Yeah,
And it's the epitome of everything that's wrong with Kissimmee, Florida. It's
right. Well, I wonder, Fred.
Gatorland is just a bunch of alligators.
It's great. But it's a bunch of, like, employees who are missing limbs and guys who've all been attacked.
No. In Rich, they're all missing limbs. And the thing is, it's, I mean, they, every day, several times a day, stick their hands and heads in alligators' mouths. And they're not like, alligators' brain's the size of like a testicle. I don't think that you can like teach them anything.
Train them,
like you can't like teach them. Like, they're probably used to the dudes being around.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like they're going to, like you can't make them not snap their jaw down.
No.
So yeah, they're all missing crap. And I don't know. I don't know how anyone would work there, but it's, you can see it in Jackass. They go. I think that's where they go in Jackass.
Where Steve-O's going across the tightrope and he's got
I have to imagine. Yeah, but I have to imagine that's Gatorland, right? I can't imagine there's another Gatorland.
There's probably some trashy California knockoff. California's got a decent amount in certain parts of Florida in it too. Like as far as that type of person, you know, seeing that movie, The Florida Project. As I said, I lived down there for a little bit, and you know that was a period of my life when our family was on welfare. So I mean, I saw that, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's Florida. That was a perfect snapshot of that whole region that surrounds it. I wasn't very far from there at the time. Dan can tell you about Lord of Florida, which is not too far from there.
Middle of the state, baby.
Lord of Florida is very far from there.
It was very far, but I've done that trip too many times.
But Lord of Florida, where Dan's in-laws used to be, it's like you know, I lived in Florida for 4 years. My grandmother and my dad's side lived in Lakeland, which is like as crappy as you can. I mean, it's like an hour north of Orlando. My mom's sister lived in Ocala. So anyway, so like I know Florida really, really well. He points to Lord of Florida, and it's like the one part of Florida that no one has discovered yet.
No.
It's like the one place where the explorers haven't laid their
it's pure, Fred.
Down.
It's pure. The Hicks have been left alone.
Mike, later on in the show, we need to explore this because I just for kicks and giggles, I Googled Gatorland injuries, and there's a million news stories. So we might need to dig through the history of Gatorland.
Several times a day, they're screwing around with the alligators, like goo, and then like putting their heads in their The whole point of Gatorland is one of them is going to snap and take something off of one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't go to Gatorland to look at the majesty of the gators. I mean, you can just walk around Central Florida. They're all over the place.
Yeah,
if you want to see alligators, no, you want to see Hicks get things bit off. That's the whole point of it.
Well, I don't, because you were going to Florida during President's Day. There's a bad day. That's how we got there. Well, also,
I have no idea where I'm going to be. I'm somewhere expensive.
Somewhere
that's
not as cool as
$1,000 a ticket to fly.
To Florida? Wow, that seems. High, unless it's like some strange remote area. Like if you're going to Orlando,
I'm flying to
President's Day weekend. Yeah, that sucks. That's school vacation week. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like $700 a ticket. I don't even know where I'm flying into. Whatever.
Well, the Bruins also rescheduled their two games in Montreal for March the 21st and April 24th. And by the way, quick side note, I know the Bruins obviously crapped the bed against Carolina the other night, but you would have thought by the Hurricanes social media that they won the Stanley Cup. No less than a dozen tweets like, never seen a Prius total a Lambo before, referencing, of course, Marchand's comments. There's another one like, L stands for Lamborghini. And then it posted randomly the score of the Patriots game from this weekend and put rough few days in Beantown. Then another one took it to him, and then another one made a statement. And then I'm looking at this right here. It's got like the stats for the game the other night. It says we scored 7, but did we pass for over 300 yards? Holy midseason champs, Hurricanes. It looks like you guys are having a little.
They're not even in first place in their division. What is this about exactly?
But it would be corny even if they won the Stanley Cup and were doing that. I mean, it's just corny.
Well, they use the term Beantown, which is obviously not forgivable.
If you want to rile up your Hick fans, that's going to do it.
Well, and the NHL aren't the only people not heading to the Olympics. NBC Sports has announced it will not send any of its announcing teams to China due to the COVID concerns. Mike Tirico, now he's going to be in China for the February 4th opening ceremony and the first few days of the games, but then we'll leave for Los Angeles to host February 13th Super Bowl, which is also on NBC, if he doesn't get stuck there for 5 weeks and contracts COVID. That's the only thing. Like, how great, how random would that be? He goes over there and like, oh, you know what? That whole Super Bowl thing that we've sunk even more money into, it looks like I'm not going to be back for that.
Which is worse, getting COVID or getting the pink eye like Costas did that 1 year?
Well, I felt bad for Costas. Like, Costas, like, he, that guy soldiered on, didn't mention it.
He would have kept going, but I'm sure that the public was like, oh, all right, enough. Get rid of it.
Yeah, it was getting in too much.
It was tough to look at. Yeah. Tough to look at.
That's what happens when you love booties. I mean, you know, you're going to get the pink eye. I mean, that comes from poop.
Is that what happened? You think that's what happened with him?
That's what pink eye is from. I mean,
having contracted pink eye at one time, if you remember correctly, Fred, there are two types of it. There's viral, and then there's bacterial.
Yeah, yes. If you were at Magic City, and you were at the clapping. all the clapping was sending debris flying everywhere. It was like this coffee machine.
Right.
Have you tried the wings yet, the Magic City
wings? I have not. That's this weekend. We've discussed it, my wife
and I. Always good to let meat sit around as long as possible.
It's in the freezer, Fred.
It's in the freezer. You know, it's frozen.
It's in the freezer, vacuum-packed.
So you're waiting for the weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got to be
it's time for a celebration, baby.
All he's right. going to put out a little, little John.
I'm making it rain lemon pepper wings, man.
Some future. You can put on a little future.
Now coming to the kitchen.
Are you going to look at butts while you eat them?
Oh, no. We'll just put on porn in the corner.
Okay. See, that's not as fun.
Well, no, you can have a big butt porn.
Sure.
John's going to
have the wife has a say.
John,
might
name
not
one big butt porn actress, just for my own edification.
Yes.
Can you name one?
Yes, I can, in fact. I can. Alexis Texas.
Okay.
There you go.
Because her butt's as big as Texas.
Go look it up. Joe Murray's here. He's nodding his head. He knows what's up.
There's no way Joe would know that.
Look it up.
It's John walking in slow motion, a lie detector, and you can go, Fred, name a bunch of big ass, like porn chicks with big asses, and I honestly would not. You could put me in a lie detector, and I would not be able to do that. That's one thing that I am innocent of.
John, can you do me a favor? Just when you make the wings,
after the list is done, yeah. What can I do for you?
Just text me. Oh, you made the 30 player list.
I have the list right here. Yeah.
That's a break. Hey, look, you just gave us a break.
I love it, John. Look at you.
Which is not sports talk radio at all.
Ask and you shall receive. What else, Rich? What can I do for you?
Let's do Jordan LeBron after.
Okay, good.
All right. When we come back, I can only imagine. I wish I was in studio because I can only imagine now that Alexis Texas has come up. All the butt discussions. But we will have the Bankroll Boys talking about there's still things to gamble on just because the Patriots. Apparently, Bertrand was, John, crapping on our take on the Patriots, their situation with the cap. And I'm looking at the cap, and we weren't wrong.
So you're saying he thinks they have more salary cap room?
I don't know. I just got tweeted that he was crapping on
our cap take.
Okay,
I didn't hear it, so I don't know. Okay.
But if you look at their top...
Is that the cap is crap take? Is that what it is?
None
of that matters?
Yeah. Well, the cap is... All right. If you want one guy, sure. All right. We'll be back with the Bankroll Boys in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.